helped. Cheering birdsong mixed with the swish of freewheeling bicycle tyres. Coasting downhill, the air was cold on her cheeks, while the view, even if it was many times observed, made it possible to displace both time and present circumstance. The hazy, early morning sunshine gave a charming view of the old town, looking as it had for several hundred years, a collection of high, timber-framed houses with steep, pitched roofs overlooking narrow streets topped by the bell tower of the Lutheran church. Graunitz sat in a misty valley of small woods and rolling fields cut by hedgerows, dipping towards the river and the arched stone bridge which spanned it, once a place where tolls were demanded to allow passage. On the far side, hogging the hillside and less appealing, stood terraces of small red brick dwellings, erected to house the colliers who'd flooded into the area in the years of the century. The headgear and the twin ventilation towers of the coal mine stood above them, stark against the skyline, the seams running deep underground, a steady source of revenue to the von Treckheim family. Within the narrow streets at the edge of Graunitz, the illusion of peaceful timelessness persisted. Elisabeth pedalled past the hammer ringing out from the blacksmith's forge, soon replaced by the buzzing sound of sawing from the timber yard. She was forced to swerve round a passing ox cart laden with hay, while from somewhere unseen came the lowing of cattle, probably a herd being moved to a new pasture. This mood of rustic tranquillity was shattered as soon as she entered the market square, the number of swastika flags immediately spoiling any illusion of peace. Pennants hung on the street lamps, full-blown banners draped from the windows of the buildings, these rippling above posters exhorting the nation to work hard, eat sparingly, and fight off an endless series of bestial foes, while simultaneously exalting the muscular form or military superiority of the Aryan male. Others showed corn-carrying images of flaxen-haired women holding the hands of their smiling, blonde and blue-eyed offspring as they strode through fields of plenty, eyes set on a glittering National Socialist future. Elisabeth found queues outside the shops at which she called, but no one expected the Grafin von Treckheim to join them. Indeed, it was considered undignified such an elevated person carried out her own errands. Even worse, she did so on an old sit-up-and-beg bicycle, more suited to a grocer's delivery boy. Surely the owner of a large estate with pigs, chickens, cattle, draft horses, a lake with fish, game in the woods, and an extensive kitchen garden need not bother with rations at all. Yet, collect them she did. They were her due, as well as her cover. At each stop, those queuing stood aside, each uttering a perfunctory Heil Hitler. This while the owner led her to a discreet corner. Such preferment embarrassed Elisabeth, yet any attempt to take a place in the queue brought forth a much deeper level of inaudible disapproval. Not even a die-hard Nazi wife or housekeeper, and Graunitz had its share of such people, thought it fitting the wife of the local nobleman should behave like an ordinary mortal. On the transfer of coupons, her rations were produced: tin sausages and stringy bacon from Denmark, a tiny portion of beef, lentils, pearl barley, and rough bran-like bread, which seemed to contain less and less wheat. There was no butter, fruit, few vegetables other than turnips and potatoes, ersatz coffee, and dried